findings that I'm presenting on kids' behaviors and their high-risk work exposures stem from part of my doctoral dissertation while a student at the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. And since then, I've actually graduated and moved on to a postdoctoral fellowship at the VA Medical Center, working in our polytrauma and blast injuries unit. First, I'd like to acknowledge my mentors, advisors, and co-authors, most of whom are from the University of Minnesota also. Dr. Susan Gerberich is in the audience with us today, as is Colleen Rainier. And I also like to start off these talks by recognizing the fact that kids' involvement on their families' farms and ranches is important historically in the United States. It's considered a time-honored cultural tradition. And as Rand Conger and Glenn Elder showed in their book, Children of the Land, it's also important for healthy developmental aspects of kids, including resilience and their work ethics. But as public health professionals, we also know that agriculture is a very dangerous industry. Rates of fatal occupational injuries for this sector are more than 9 times greater than for all other occupations combined. And we know that kids who either work on or are reared on farms and ranches also have a high risk of occupational injury, both fatal and non-fatal. Some of the exposures that contribute to this increased risk for kids are work with machinery, tractors, animals, both large and small, and some of the other injury types that we commonly see and work with, like falls, overuse injuries, etc. In the injury prevention literature in general, we know that people's behavioral traits, both adults and kids, are associated with their risk of injury. And last year at this conference, we presented some findings showing that in this context on family farms and ranches, that kids' behaviors were associated with their risk of agricultural injury. As an example, depression, aggression, and their ability to self-regulate were associated with their risk of injury. The question that we left off with last year was whether or not this association, or these associations we observed, were due to direct causal effects between the children's behaviors and the risk of injury, or if this is mediated somehow through other variables, one of which would be important in this environment is the kid's likelihood of being exposed to certain farm tasks or chores as opposed to others. So the purpose of this study was to identify whether such associations between kids' behaviors and their work exposures were related. The analyses we conducted to answer this question were based on combined data from phases 1 and 2 of the Regional Rural Injury Study 2. The RIS-2 was a population-based prospective cohort study. We looked at the incidence and outcomes of all injuries among agricultural operation family members. And then to hone in on risk factors specific to kids, we had a nested case control study involved as well. Our sampling frame came from the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Master Listserv, and for each study year, we sampled 3,200 agricultural operations from each of these 5 states in the upper Midwest. So the total number of operations sampled for each year was 16,000, and a combined 32,000 for both years. All of these households received introductory mailings in January of each respective study year, and these were followed by brief participation interviews by telephone used to assess eligibility, obtain informed consent, and then enroll households that were eligible and willing to participate. So our eligibility criteria were that the agricultural operation had to have an associated household, and the household had to have kids living in it. They had to be actively farming or ranching as of January 1st of our study year and had to have produced at least $1,000 in agricultural goods the year before our study. So those that were eligible and then agreed to participate received a big packet of materials with detailed information on our study and also especially designed cards that would help facilitate the transfer of information from them to us during our full-length telephone interviews. Those full-length interviews occurred in July of each study year and the following January, and they collected information on each respective 6-month window period during that study year, so January through June, July through December. And we obtained information for each member of the household, including demographics, incidence of injury, and the outcomes of those injuries, and and then at this time we enrolled cases and controls. Case events were agricultural injuries incurred by the kids on the household, and they had to have occurred on their own operation. You've seen this injury definition already. It was a restriction of activity for 4 hours or more, loss of consciousness, awareness, or amnesia for any length of time, and or treatment by a professional health care provider. So these questions, or the cases that were enrolled in our study, were questioned about their exposures of interest as well as their behaviors during the month prior to the month of their injury event. And then for each case, we enrolled up to 6 controls, and the controls were assigned a 1 month exposure period in that 6 month respective window to give us their information about exposures and behaviors. So the results I'm discussing today are based on a combination, these two phases of the study. This included over 7,400 households, which was 84% of those we identified as eligible, including over 32,000 family members. And you can see here we had 410 cases and 1,866 controls. For these analyses, we restricted this to 379 cases and 1,562 controls because these kids were 6 years of age or older, and the behavioral traits that we assessed, the surveys that we borrowed or adapted those items from, were validated only in this population of older kids. So the total number of kids that are in the analyses I'm discussing today was 1,941. We elicited responses for 18 behavioral items, and these were adapted from common inventories in the child development discipline. These were on a 4-point Likert scale, and we asked the parent, would you say that your child almost never, sometimes, often, or almost always, and then each of these behaviors. These came from the CBCL, or the Child Behavior Checklist, or the POCA, the Parent Observation of Child Adaptation. And then in some cases, we adapted the questions to an agricultural setting. We then went on and conducted exploratory factor analysis using just these 18 items to develop behavioral scales. And using this approach, we had 5 factors or scales that were identified. These included depressive symptoms, aggression, self-regulation, careful and cautious behavior, and responsible conduct. And as you can see by the little schematic in the corner, most of the kids, their parents assessed that they were in the most desirable levels of each of these behaviors, which we would expect. So this long tail, where the kids at the farthest end of the distribution are the kids that we were interested in. To the extent possible, those were the kids at the 10% end of this tail, or had what we would consider the least desirable behaviors. High-risk agricultural work exposures were defined based on our initial risk factor research using the case control data from this study. These questions were posed in nominal format, and we had a series of 8 here that we used in these analyses. 7 of these 8, with the exception of this last one, were identified as risk factors in this case control study, and we included bystanding, even though it didn't appear as a relevant factor in our study. Other research groups and previous studies have shown bystanding to be important in kids' risk of injury. So if they're standing around in areas where high-risk work occurs, they appear to be at an increased risk of injury. We conducted multivariable logistic regression to look at the relation between kids' behaviors and the risk of exposure to high-risk agricultural work environments. We made adjustments for within-household correlations for in cases where both the case children and control children are from the same household, and also adjusted for non-response. To select groups of potential confounders to include in each of our models, we used directed acyclic graphs. And as you can see here, we had a pretty comprehensive list of variables that we controlled for in each of our analyses. So were kids' behaviors associated with their exposures? Yes and no. I can pretty much summarize this with one slide. We can see here that kids in the higher levels of, higher ends of depressive symptoms, I'll say, were 2.5 times more likely to work with dairy cattle than kids that were classified as being medium to low levels of depression. with aggression, kids in the high levels were more likely to ride on tractors or operate equipment. Kids with low levels of self-regulation were at a decreased risk of operating tractors. And this is an interesting finding. Last year here, we presented that kids that had trouble self-regulating were at an increased risk of injury. And we see here that they're at a decreased risk of one of the most hazardous exposures on the operation. Also, kids with low levels of responsible conduct appeared to be at a decreased risk of operating or riding on tractors, as well as working with beef cattle. For bystanding in fields or barnyards, we found one scale that seemed to be associated. Kids with low levels of careful and cautious behavior were more likely to be frequent bystanders as opposed to sometimes or never bystanding in fields or barnyards. So I just went over this. So before moving on to some of the potential implications, I want to address some of the limitations, one of which is always the potential for additional confounding. Even though we controlled for a whole slew of covariates, there's this potential for other factors, one that we think is important is possibly parental supervision. We heard today this is an important factor, maybe sleep as well, but parent supervision could be associated with the parent's assessment of their kids' behaviors and also what exposures these kids have. Also, recall bias, we tried to limit using the interview cards that parents wrote information down over the six-month period that for which we ascertained information at each of the full-length interviews. But there's always the potential for recall bias. And then behavioral items, we only had 18, and we adapted those from very long scales, and we reduced them in number to fit onto our survey. And the factors that we identified, or the behavioral scales, were limited in the number of items that were contained in those scales, and as such may have limited interpretability in this population. We do think we can say that there are associations between kids' exposures and their behaviors. This is important because farms and ranches present a really unique environmental setting where there are all sorts of toys, as Renee would say, and temptations for kids, and there's also a lot of tasks and work that needs to be done. So parents are kind of at the helm of making these decisions about their kids' ability to perform these tasks that need to be done. So there's this really complex interaction that's going on in these occupational settings that are actually home places for children. Most of our safety interventions for this population rely heavily on educational initiatives. This is historical. This is what we've been able to do to date, more so than policy. Some of these are the Farm Safety for Just Kids program, the NAGCAT, county extension efforts. And so some of these, one of which is the NAGCAT, do include parental assessment of their kids' maturity for that age level when assigning tasks. And we think that maybe with more research, more understanding of how parents' perceptions of their kids' behaviors and their decisions about when kids are ready to perform certain chores, that we could somehow include a behavioral component on some of our educational interventions. So finally, I too want to acknowledge my funding sources, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, that funded the RIS2 studies, as well as my doctoral program, the Occupational Injury Prevention Research Training Program at the University of Minnesota, and then also our collaboration with the USDA and, of course, our farm and ranch families who shared time and sometimes very sensitive personal information to participate with us in this study.
Thank you.
all the families. We didn't restrict to just those that might have dairy cattle or beef cattle. A lot of our operations might have a primary income stemming from dairy cattle, but then they also have beef cattle, or some of the dairy cattle that are become steers are beef cattle, or they have tractors and various equipment on the operation. So in one way, we only had information on the what was the source of their primary income, or that crop that was the source of their primary income, not the extensive list of types of animals and equipment on the operation. We can talk more too, because I had to wrap my head around that too. But kids that they have the opportunity, we would assume that most of them have the opportunity to work with dairy cattle, work with animals, and the large equipment. And so the question that we used for our outcome was yes or no, did they work?